Well, good morning. Something wrong there. All right. Good morning, brothers and sisters in the Lord. Good to be with you all again. You know, a few weeks ago when we were here, about a month ago, I guess it was, I was quite tired. As you know, many of you know, we've been building an addition to our home. And we moved in the middle of April, and we're busy setting up house. Staying up in the middle of the night sometimes, especially. I came to the point, I told my wife, I said, you're allowed 2 nights a week till 3 o'clock in the morning. That's all. Just she enjoys working in the night, just kind of, you know, when everything is quiet. And for the visitors that are here, maybe you don't understand our situation exactly. These brethren from Allen County here, quite a few of them came in last November, I think it was. Is that correct, Solly? Because right before Thanksgiving, I remember that, we're building an addition. We built an addition to our home, preparation to extend our ministry to girls. We've had young people. My wife and I never had children, so we've ministered to young people through the years as a pastor, and maybe even before that, for that matter. And we just began to get a real burden for, especially along the lines of girls in our Anabaptist circles. There's just not a lot out there. So we're working under a board and built our home about 3 times bigger, I guess it was. And so the Lord has been very gracious. And tomorrow evening, we want to have a time of gratitude with you as a church. As you all know, we have a special time here planned. So anyway, I feel refreshed. I feel like this past week we finally got over the hump of landscaping, of major setting of order things in our home there, and so I feel refreshed, and especially being with my friends. I was just thinking last night, what a joy it is to have friends in our lives. Isn't that true? I mean, it says in the book of Acts that Paul went to his friends to refresh himself, and I find that so refreshing, being with friends, just visiting, you know, not ministering, if you will, but just visiting and enjoying each other. And I found that so refreshing out here this weekend. So thank you. Thank you to you all for allowing yourselves to be used to refresh my spirit, my wife and I. So amen. Well, the Lord has laid on my heart a message. If you want to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, while you're turning there, we sang that song, How Firm a Foundation. Brother Josh mentioned that I wanted to sing that song 3 or 4 times just to set the record straight. It was twice. So I still remember. I wanted to sing it another time, but I don't think it's quite 3 or 4 times, Josh, wherever you're at. Amen. Okay, well, we'll get into the message here. Chapter 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I'll just read 2 verses here, verse 2 and 3. Paul says, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. Here we see very clearly that Paul was thanking God for the church at Thessalonica. There was something good happening there at the church. And he was thanking God. It says, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing. Okay, so here's some of the good things that were happening. One of those was the work of faith. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. So those were the good things that were happening. There was a work of faith that was going on in the church at Thessalonica. There was a labor of love. And there was a patience of hope. They were patient in hope in in waiting. Sometimes there's a waiting upon the Lord in our lives, and there was a patience of hope in their lives there at the church of Thessalonica. Now turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. Here we see another church that was being addressed by the Apostle John, and it's interesting. These same words. It's along the same lines of wording that we see here in John here as he addresses the church here at Ephesus now. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. And then he mentions about having someone against them because they had lost their first love. But it's interesting here. Here in the church at Thessalonica, he says, Paul commends them for their work of faith. Look at Revelation chapter 2. Keep your fingers in these two pages if you can. Here Paul says, I know thy works. But it doesn't say work of faith. There was something missing there in that element of works in their midst. It says, I know thy works. But it was seemingly not a work of faith like was taking place in Thessalonica. He says, I know thy labor. But he does not mention the labor of love that he mentioned in Thessalonica. John doesn't mention that. There was, again, something missing in the church at Ephesus. Something missing. He says, I know thy patience. But not there, the patience of hope is not there. There's no patience of hope that is mentioned. And so there was something missing at the church at Ephesus that Paul was commending in the church at Thessalonica. And so I'd like to preach, I'd like to share along those lines this morning, and Brother John just set the stage for with his opening to with what's on my heart. I'd like to look at this element of the work of faith. The work of faith. Here Paul says at the church of Thessalonica, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. You know, I looked up that word work in the Strong's. It says to toil, to effort, make effort or occupation. So there is a work that God has us to do, but he calls it the work of faith. You know, we all realize, like Brother John said, you know, it's much more about being than is it about working, because the Christian life is worked out through who we are in Christ. But there is a work that God has us to do, and that is engaging ourselves in believing. Remember what Jesus said. Let's turn to John 6 if you want to just briefly. There is an exercise of the will on our part. John says here Jesus in St. John chapter 6, where's that verse? 28 and 29, here the Jews were asking him, they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Amen? God does have a work for us, but let's not get it mixed up with doing and, you know, thinking that as if we do good things, that's our righteousness. But God does have a work for us, and that is to toil in this area of faith. We all know we are thrown the lies of the enemy. I've been in my life, and we're thrown his lies, and we're thrown his doubts and fears and deceptions, and those things come assail us. And God has a work for us to do in this whole area of the Christian realm, of walking out our Christian life, and that is a work of faith. We toil, we labor. In fact, when it says, I looked up the word one time, it says, you know, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. And that word fight, that word is in the Strong's is agonias or something like that. It's our English word for agony. There is sometimes an agonizing in this work of faith as we are tempted with the doubts of the adversary. There's an agonizing and a standing by faith, like it brings out in Corinthians, be ye steadfast, unmovable, because of the victory that is in Christ Jesus. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. And we face those doubts and fears and things that come our way that want to remove us from the foundation of Christ and the rock of his promises and all that God has for us, like Brother John brought out, the exceeding, we're made partakers of His divine nature through His exceeding great and precious promises. But Satan, our adversary, or our own thoughts sometimes want to remove us from that. They want to remove us from taking hold of that which we have of our inheritance, which is in Christ. And so this work of faith is, like I said, Paul commended the church at Thessalonica. But there was something absent in the church at Ephesus. And I believe they lost their first love. And I don't know how that all happened, but one element that I believe very clearly was missing was the work of faith. The work of faith. So I'd like to get into about four areas of our Christian walk. I'd like to get into about four areas where this work of faith is worked out. How this work of faith is worked out and is imparted to us in our Christian walk. So let's turn to Romans. First of all, I'd like to go in the area of salvation. Just simply salvation. Salvation, as we know, the Word of God clearly brings out that it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God, but it is through faith. Very clearly it says, by grace, through faith are you saved, and not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's through faith. There is an engagement on our part on this area of salvation. There's an engagement of the will. There's an engagement of the heart. And you know, I worked with an Islamic tribe in Africa for about 3 years, a number of years ago, and you know that the hard, difficult part for them is to believe, is simply to believe that Jesus is God's Son. There was a necessity to engage their hearts in faith and say, yes, I step across that line. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. You know, an engagement of the will, an engagement of the heart, taking hold of God's word. But that's also for us in our wherever we're at in our culture, in our society, and right where we live is, and the temptations we face to doubt, there's a necessity of realizing that there is nothing we can do to save ourselves except that we engage our hearts in faith, in the Word of God that is spoken into our lives. And that's where faith comes in. By grace, through faith, are you saved. Our part is the faith. God's part is the grace. And, He imparts the cleansing power of His blood and delivers us from sin. But there is a necessity to engage our heart in faith, in believing. This is the work of God that Jesus said, this is a work of God that I've given unto you, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. So let's turn our Bibles to Romans on this point. I want to just walk us through a little bit in Romans. And I trust we all understand. It's just sometimes we need to be reminded, of these things as we're, as believers of our standing in Christ by faith alone, not of works. Yes, works is It's a product, it's the outcome, it's a manifestation of fruit in our lives from that which is within, but it does not save us. We do not earn our salvation. It's through faith. Romans 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the law was given so that we might understand our sinfulness. And I think we all know that. The law was a mirror. The law was never really given. From my understanding, the law was not given for us to endeavor to keep it. It was to show us the exceeding sinfulness of our own heart that we can. It's like the law was given, the law was added when Moses came. The conscience was there to to help to enable men to see their sinfulness. But when the law came, it was like we looked in the mirror. It's like I used to be a roofer, you know, and sometimes I'd do wood shingles or slate tear-offs. And I'll tell you, well, I got dirty, filthy dirty. You know, I didn't know how black I was until I looked in the mirror. I knew I was dirty, but I didn't really know how dirty I was until I looked in the mirror and I realized, my, I am absolutely filthy. I almost look like a black man. And that's what the law was intended for, to show us the exceeding sinfulness of our sin. As we looked into the mirror of the law, we realized, whew, it's much worse than I ever thought. That's why the law was given. God knew we couldn't keep it on our own strength. But praise God, verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon, I love that. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, again, of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Isn't that glorious? I mean, the righteousness of God by faith comes upon us. It's unto all, and it comes upon us by faith. By faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith again in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. And, you know, God makes sure we get the point. He re-emphasizes it. Paul says here, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, not our own, nothing to do with us trying to earn it, us trying to work it, us trying to gain points and so forth. But no, he says, to declare at this time, I say, His righteousness, that He might be just, that God might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. That's glorious. You know, some people get these jitters that, you know, if I just live by faith, that it's not going to turn out right. I'm going to be a lawless person, or you know, they look at people that way and think, you know, if they just walk by faith, it's not going to turn out right because they're going to become lawless and careless. But no, here it says clearly, does faith make void the law? No, it says God forbid. It establishes the law of righteousness in our lives. Glorious. It establishes it. Praise God. As we live by faith. Then it says, chapter 4, what shall we then say? What shall we say then that Abraham our father is pertaining to the flesh is found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. You know, I think God is, Paul is bringing out, you know, if anyone could be justified by works, I mean, this Isaac came out of his loins, out of his flesh. You know, it could look like he would have tremendous opportunity to glory. But Paul sets the record straight and says, no. Remember what was declared upon Abraham, the righteousness that was declared upon Abraham was by faith, because he believed God. Not because of what he did and all the different things like along those lines, but because he believed God, God counted it unto him for righteousness. Amen? It's very clear. It says here, for what saith the Scripture? No, it's not of works. But Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So if we work, you know, it's a glory. I preach in prison sometimes, and I tell these inmates, you know, that if you get saved, if you can just receive Christ into your lives, you know, you'll have your sin forgiven, all your pile of debt will be removed. And even if while you're in prison, you stumble and maybe with an attitude with another inmate, that same fellow inmate who's not a believer and has an attitude toward another inmate, his debt pile is piling up to meet him in judgment day. But for us believers, there's never debt there as we walk in the light. There's no debt there, even as we at times stumble, and it's glorious. There is no debt ever there to meet us in that day. And that's the glory of living in Christ, praise God. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's the righteousness. Our sins are forgiven. Our iniquities are covered. They're gone. They're cast into the depth of the sea. Not of our own works, but through faith in Jesus Christ. The work of faith. Now, there is an engagement, like I said. The work of faith. As God comes to the heart, there is an engagement of the will and saying, yes, Lord. I embrace that command. I embrace that promise. Which I'd like to get into that a bit here in point two. Now we'll get into point two. First of all, the first point was salvation by faith. It's salvation by faith. I still remember Dale Heise bringing that up in the leadership seminar, and he brought it up this way. He said, you know, he asked the question. He said, is salvation by faith alone? Or is it faith and works? And I was tuned in to what he would say. And he just brought out very clearly, you know, it is by faith alone. By faith alone in Jesus Christ. And, So anyway, point two here. I would like to get into this morning in this point and what it means to keep the commandments of the Lord. I think sometimes we get mixed up in this area, and we come under condemnation, we come under bondage sometimes, and we look at the commandments of the Lord, and if we fail in one of those commandments that we know God has spoken to our heart, we feel like we've displeased the Lord. And sometimes we may, if we have a heart that's not right or one is bent towards sin. But I'd like to show us something this morning, and I think I elaborated on this before. But let's turn to numerous scriptures. I'd just like to show us how God's word brings out the keeping of the commandments of the Lord versus obeying them. And I'll elaborate on that. Please don't misunderstand me when I bring that out, that I'm saying we can disobey the commandments of the Lord. But God does, Christ in all his teachings, and as you go to 1 John, there's teachings, and even in Revelations, there's much said, almost, there's very little said about obey the commandments of the Lord, and if you love God, obey his commandments. But it does say, oh, if you love God, keep his commandments. If any man love me, he will keep my commandments. That's very clear. Very clear in numerous, many scriptures. And I'd like to go through some of these scriptures just to show you. Turn to Matthew 19. This was a rich young man. And Jesus said to him, he said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Verse 17, again, chapter 19. Verse 17, and he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Keep them. So there's a word, very clear word of keeping the commandments of the Lord in our lives. Okay, now let's go on. If you don't want to follow me, I'm just going to page through a bunch of scriptures here. Luke 8:15. Here was the parable of the sower. At the end of that parable, 5:18, Jesus said, take heed therefore how you hear, For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Whosoever hath, that's not what I wanted. What is that one here? Luke 8:15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So there it is again, that word keep. Keeping the word of God. Keeping it. And I'm going to show us it has much to do with faith. Everything to do with faith. And keeping God's word in our lives. Let's go on. Chapter 11. Same book here. Luke 11:28. This was a woman who lifted up her voice and said unto him, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. There it is again, that word keep. Keeping the word of God in our hearts. Now, we'll turn to John, where there's a lot said about this, both in St. John and 1 John. St. John chapter 8, first of all, chapter 8:51. 8:51. Here it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. So that's profound. If a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. So this word keep is very profound, very powerful, very... John is bringing to bear upon us a very important truth. Okay, let's turn now to, John chapter 14, verse 15. Here Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. And then right across the page in chapter 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. And now, St. John 15:10. It says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And now let's turn yet to 1 John. 1 John 2:3. Two places in John here yet. 1 John 2:3. First John 2:3, and hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. So there's a way that we can know that we know the Lord if we keep his commandments. And what's this word keep mean? And that's what I want to bring out shortly. 1 John 3:22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So anyway, I looked up the word in the Strong's. It has three different meanings. Three different meanings. This word keep has three different places in the Strong's where it brings out the meaning. They're basically all the same. The first keep I looked up is in Strong's number 5442. It says, to watch, be on guard, preserve, obey, observe. Another one is in Strong's number is 2772. To hold down, hold fast, keep in memory, make towards, possess, retain, seize on. Then the other one is 5083. To guard, to watch from injury and loss, to prevent escaping. Yeah, to watch from injury and loss, to prevent escaping. So the thought I'd like to bring out to us this morning is this. Most of you have children. Most of you know that when you, as your child matures and gets older, you're a construction worker, so I'll bring out the scenario your place of construction. You know, you have a child and you want him to learn this occupation. So you give him direction. You give him some commandments, if you will. You give him direction in this occupation that you want him to, the skill you want him to learn. And, you know as well as I do that your children are not going to learn that occupation overnight. But you take great joy as a father, and you know your child has heard you. You know your son, your daughter has heard you. You know they're keeping your saying. You know they're keeping that direction that you've given them. You know they're keeping it in their heart. You know they have taken it to heart. But you as a father, you watch him day after day. They're not perfect the first day in the fulfilling of that commandment. They're not perfect. They make mistakes. They're hammer. You know, they don't hammer the nail right, or they don't, maybe they even forget some direction that was given to them. But you know, in your heart, they're endeavoring to keep that which was commanded them, the direction that was given to them. You know, as a father and a mother, you know that your heart is well pleased with your son or daughter. They're endeavoring. There's effort being put forth. They are keeping your commandment. They are keeping that which was given them, the direction that was given them. The fulfillment of it all might take a while. It might take a while till they become a perfect construction worker. That's how I see this word keep. That's how I see it. God, when He gives us commandments, when He gives us promises, we take hold of them by faith. We embrace them. And we say, "Yes, Lord. I hear you've spoken into my spirit. I know your word has lodged." And remember, faith comes by hearing. That's where faith is activated in our lives. Faith comes by hearing. And as we hear the word of God, faith is activated in that which is given to that, the direction that is given to us. And we begin to see, yes, God has spoken. Here's something that He is asking of me. Here's something that He's a direction or a calling that He's laying upon my heart. And that is what we're to watch over, brothers and sisters. I believe that it's very clear that that is what we're to watch over. We're to watch over the Word of God that has been spoken into our spirit. And to say, "Yes, Lord, I embrace that. I embrace that direction. I embrace that commandment. I embrace that promise." And we guard over that. You know, it's kind of like it says in Proverbs. You know, how does it say in here in Proverbs? Proverbs chapter 3. And this is, I'm sharing some of this because it's been so liberating for me. You know, I've faced a lot of condemnation and accusations in my life and depression. And it's just been very liberating to realize that God is well pleased with me. As the fulfillment of a commandment is worked out in my life, even though at times I stumble. Until it's completely fulfilled, until I'm completely into a place of almost, you know, perfection in that area, or where it's, you know, where it's something that is being worked out in a very consistent way. But here in Proverbs it says, and this is what is important: "Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Verses before that. "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh." Very clearly again, the necessity to keep. I mean, the next verses bring out, "Let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee." You know, don't turn from that which was spoken into your life. Don't turn from it. Guard over it. Preserve it from injury or loss. Preserve the Word of God, and that is where the work of faith comes in. It's not, we don't preserve it by trying to do necessarily, but it's a work of faith. We believe God has spoken into my life a promise. God has spoken into my life a commandment. And by faith, I'm going to move forward in that which He's spoken. And that is where God is well pleased with our lives, even as we stumble along the way into the fulfillment of it all. Get what I'm saying? That has been very liberating for me, just realizing, hey, just like God, just like a son or a daughter who we know is keeping my sayings, keeping the word which has been spoken into their heart. And we as fathers and mothers are well pleased when we see effort being put forth. They're keeping the sayings. They're keeping the direction. They're keeping the command. And we're well pleased. If there's not a resistance of the will and saying, you know, No, Dad, I won't do that. Yeah, then displeasure comes into the heart. But if there's an openness, they're guidable, they're teachable, we're well pleased, even though there's not a complete perfection of fulfillment of that command. So I just want to show us, you know, very clearly in Hebrews it says, it is impossible to please God except through faith. Hebrews 11, I know we know the scripture. But here, I'll just read it again. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. We all believe that. I believe we know, we all believe in the existence of God. You know, we all believe that He is. Him that comes to God must believe that He is. But the further command is there about faith, and that is that we must believe that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So there's a belief, there's an engaging of faith that as I take hold by faith, the Word of God to my heart, as I take hold by faith in His Word, I'll be rewarded. Whether it's a promise, whether it's in the form of a command, I will be rewarded. But it's through faith, brothers and sisters. It's not trying to perform, it's not trying to work it out in our own flesh, but it's through faith we take hold and embrace the promise. The command. And God brings a reward. Amen? He's a rewarder. You know, just look at the outcome of those who live by faith. On down to Noah, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. You know, faith comes by hearing. Noah was warned of God. He was warned that a flood is coming. He was warned that a catastrophic event was coming. And he moved by faith. It says, by faith, Noah. Not by works, not by performance, not by putting all his strength into his flesh to get this thing fulfilled and human reason and all of that. But no, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, built an ark. Amen? By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whether he went. It's by faith. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. But look at this. But having seen them afar off, they allowed themselves to be persuaded of those promises and embrace them. That's what faith is about, brothers and sisters. We embrace the promises. We allow ourselves to be persuaded of them, and we embrace them. And the fulfillment, I love God's word to Abraham. I mean, God told Abraham, I am thy shield. But he said, I am also thy exceeding great reward. That's men who live by faith, brothers and sisters. As we live by faith, there is an exceeding great reward. And we see it worked out in Abraham's life. You know, Abraham went through some testings with Isaac and being told that he needs to sacrifice his son. And God reaffirmed this promise to him after that. You know, and Abraham walked through that faithfully. And we see the outcome of a tremendous, exceeding great reward put into the bosom of Abraham. His seed as the stars of the sky, multitude which can't be numbered, as the sand which is by the seashore. That's so encouraging to me. You know, as we live by faith, my, I can have exceeding great rewards in my life as well. I mean, it gets exciting. You know, but the necessity is the work of faith. We embrace the promises. We take hold by faith that which God has spoken into our spirit. And as that takes place, there might be a time frame there. It might be a process till it's all worked out. Even as it was in Abraham's life. It took 30 years for the fulfillment of the child till the child was born in their lap, in their hands. And along the way, they stumbled. I'm amazed, you know, in Romans it says, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God in unbelief. I think to myself, well, Abraham, you did stagger. You know, he produced an Ishmael. But God was so well pleased with Abraham in the keeping of his commandment. I believe his pleasure was upon him. Even as he stumbled, had a stumbling and a bumbling there with, you know, Hagar, going into Hagar, the Egyptian maid there. And you know, but Abraham kept the commandment of the Lord by faith. And the fulfillment of all was a fruit of it. The fulfillment of it all came into fruition, came into full and complete fulfillment. And his exceeding great reward was given to him, placed into his lap. So amen. You know, I have found the key to living abiding faith. It's basically two things. Is to live under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You know, Scripture brings out in 1 John, it says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as that same anointing teaches you of all things, and it is truth, and it is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. So the abiding in Christ, you know, that living under that anointing is very key to us being able to walk by faith. Living, abiding in Christ, living under the anointing and under an open heaven in our lives, if you will. That we're constantly living under an open heaven. That's number one. And number two is what I'm sharing now is when God speaks into our lives that we hold fast to the promise or command. Paul told Timothy, holding fast the faithful word. God's part is the faithfulness. I mean, it's his part to bring it into, you know, to bring it to pass in our lives. He's faithful in that. Our part is to hold fast, holding fast the faithful word. God is faithful. He'll bring it to pass. But it is through faith on our part. And that's where the enemy often comes in, or if we have had mind traits and patterns in our lives, you know, sometimes there's things there that just we need to work against. So I've had to tremendously in my life. You know, I've had to work against doubts and fears. That's been my issues. You know, and just to work against those things and hold fast the faithful word. And I'll tell you, you know, the doubts come and the fears come, even as you're holding fast. But I've found, like it says in Hebrews, it says there's a rest for the people of God. Then it says labor. And again, that word labor means the word labor means to make effort, be prompt and earnest. And like Brother John shared this morning, be diligent. The labor is to believe. It says, labor to enter into that rest. Then it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Our labor, from what I understand, is to believe. And I found, you know, if I have a stronghold in my life or a mind pattern that tends to really, you know, where I'm tempted in and assailed in and just kind of, you know, it's there. I just wish it would go away. But I found that as I hold faith, the rest comes. The rest comes. And it almost becomes as easy as breathing, you know, after the, you know, but there's a labor to enter into that rest. There's a labor to believe. This is the work of God that he's given us, is to believe. The work of faith. And as we work that work of faith, God's promise comes into glorious fulfillment. Whether it's something we're dealing through with in a besetting along the lines of a weight or a besetting sin in our lives, or whether it's a calling in our lives that we're struggling with, or whether it's going to a neighbor that we're just saying, you know, I can't go. What's he going to say? You know, you're called upon to share the gospel with him. But as you labor in faith, God, I mean, I found this, you know, in my life. As I labor in faith, and let's say God calls me to share the gospel with someone, it's just beautiful. As we step out in faith, God often puts the whole thing together so beautifully. It's like, Lord, it's all you. You know, you just recognize at the end of the day that, you know, it was all the Lord. But it does take a work of faith in our part to bring all that to, you know, for the hand of God to actively be moving and working in our hearts and lives. So like I said, sometimes we get mixed up. You know, I have in my life. We think, oh, I failed again and God is displeased with me. No, that's not true. If you're keeping the commandments of the Lord, you're walking in the light. Remember, 1 John 1:7 says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. It doesn't break down any of our fellowship one with another. Neither does it hinder the blood of Jesus from keeping us clean and clear and our hearts cleansed. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So there it is. It's walking in the light that God is giving to us, embracing his word. And yes, though it takes time for it to be completely fulfilled in our lives, God is well pleased with his Son, with his daughter. And that robe of righteousness is upon us at all times. All times. No fear, no doubt, no condemnation. We have a young lady who lives in our home, and she's in a courtship right now. And I knew before she went to, I knew last summer she was really struggling with just things along these lines, just condemnation and doubts and fears and so I wanted her to hold back from the pending courtship, and because she had plans to go to Africa on our Sent One team there, and I just had faith that God was going to do a work in her heart, you know, during the time she was there, and she went and she put herself under the administrator there, and gave herself to be taught the ways of the Lord. And today she's utterly changed. She was any worldly person or anything like that before, but she just had these deep entrenched things in her life. The way she was changed was simply she took steps of faith. And what she was sensing God speaking to her heart. You know, the voice was not real clear. It was kind of muffled because of all the other noise that was in her mind. But she took steps of faith. And at times she had it confirmed by the vice principal there. You know, vice principal's wife. She would meet with her and she would confirm what God was speaking to her. And today she's out of all of that. I mean, she has little hang-ups that she needs encouragement in at times, but she moved ahead by faith. Through all those doubts and fears and condemnations, she began to move by faith and keeping that which God was sharing with her, keeping that which was being ministered to her spirit. And steps of faith began to be made, and today she's free. She hardly faces those things any longer. She just told me the other day, she said, I was on my way home from work the other day, and I thought, my, what God has done in my life. I used to come home from work and face just all these condemnations, all these things that I'm not good enough. I don't, God is displeased with me. And today, those things are gone. And it's because she kept the sayings of the Lord. She kept them through struggle, through trial. When she came home from Africa, she was still a little wobbly, but today she's stable. And in a beautiful courtship. She's engaged to get married here in September. And I just rejoice in what God has done in her life. But that's what I'm saying, keeping the commandments of the Lord, keeping what God speaks into our lives by faith brings about the change. You know, even in the Great Commission, the word observe, we're told to teach. How does it say? Just let me turn there real quick. In Matthew 28, and I'll go on to the next point. Matthew 28 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That word observe means, same Greek meaning, to keep. Teaching them to keep. Not so much obey. Yes, obedience is in keep. But at times I think we get the mentality, you know, of they need to obey. And if they fail, we bring upon them the displeasure of the Lord and say, well, you failed, now God is displeased. But if we can help them to keep the commandments, they'll get to that fulfillment of all the obedience. I mean, they'll get to where they don't stumble anymore. Yes, obedience is definitely within the word keep. But you get the picture? You get the difference there? You see the difference? It's within that word keep. But as by faith we keep it, it's worked out into our lives to where there's, like the young lady in our home, she barely stumbles any longer. The Apostle John again brings out the word keep. Revelations 12:17. Revelation 12:17, the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Then chapter 14, verse 12. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Somewhere I missed something. Oh, verse 12, I'm sorry. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And then one more in Revelation 22:9. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. So I just wanted to say, you know, I hope I'm clear this morning. By no means am I disannulling or trying to put obedience in our Christian life in a slot that we don't have to obey the Lord and His commands. But there's a deeper thing. There's a deeper truth within keeping where obedience, keeping encompasses obedience. And it's worked out in our lives by the power of God's Spirit through faith. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm bringing out. Okay, let's go on. I'm not getting too late here, but I do have two more points if we can just be patient here. I'd like to bring out the work of faith in church life. Work of faith in church life. You know, we have interactions and with each other. And how has faith worked out in church life? How has faith worked out when endeavoring to chart directions as a fellowship and brotherhood? Again, God desires everything we do that is under the foundation of the work of faith. So how's that worked out in brotherhood? How's it worked out in sitting together in brothers' meeting and discussing directions and charting a course and so forth? You know, I say this, you know, I know these things are sometimes sensitive issues, but they need to be addressed at times. And, you know, some would say, practical applications to Scripture is just not a work of faith. Some would say that, right? We hear it, I've heard it. You know, to make practical application of the brotherhood, to sit together and say, okay, for instance, the Bible doesn't say, thou shalt not smoke. But we all know there's enough of principle in God's word. We can decide as a brotherhood, we're going to not go down that road of allowing those addictions in our lives. But sometimes when it comes to other practical areas, we struggle. We say, you know, what right does a brotherhood or a church have to apply the word of God in areas of music, dress? You go down the line. Social media today, that's something we didn't face a number of years ago, but much more so today. And so we struggle. We think, how, you know, application. How is it right to bring scriptural? Is it right to look at the scripture and make application to our day in things that are not clearly spelled out in God's word? Is it right? I believe it is, if it's a work of faith. And let me say it this way. You know, let me get to that a little later. But I'd like to bring out, you know, there's a necessity of it being a work of faith. And as we work through things as a brotherhood, again, the necessity to be walking in the Spirit, that we can sense as a brotherhood and as a leadership what God is saying right where we live today. Right in our culture, our society. How do we apply Scripture to our lives, to our situation, to the things, to the worldly things, to the things we struggle with, right in our own community, sometimes trends in church life even. How do we address those things? How do we look at them? And we all know, I think we do, that Scripture brings out, you know, that in Judges, in the book of Judges, they were doing everything, they were doing things, how does it say, they were, every man did that which was right in his own sight. So that doesn't work, brothers and sisters. Judges, the book of Judges was full of sin and debauchery and all kinds of evil. That's what the book of Judges, I mean, you look there, they fell into sin, and then God would raise up a prophet like Gideon, and then for a while they were, you know, they were charting a path of righteousness again, but then they fell back. And at the end of the day, God just basically pronounced upon them, the children of Israel, that they were doing that which was the general tendency. Their general tenor was that they were doing that which was right in every man's own eyes. So that doesn't work. Just to say, you know, we hear that in church life sometimes. Well, I have the Holy Spirit, so, hey, it's me and God. Somehow we work this out between me and God, and I'm in tune with the Spirit, so why can't I just follow that which I follow, the direction that I'm sensing, you know, the Spirit of God leading me in. But at the same time, I just like to bring out, you know, the necessity, as it's the work of faith that I see in practical scriptural application to church life and brotherhood, is that it needs to be a work of faith. Let me explain. You know, we as families, and I think families have rights, have a right to this. Families have a right to look at their home and say, okay, as for music, we're just going to have a cappella music in our home. Or another family might say, we're going to allow a piano. I'm just bringing an example. You know, those are preferences. In my mind, they're just preferences. You know, they're neither here nor there. Neither one will take a family down the wrong direction. But what, you know, and this is where it's very important that it's a work of faith. That we look at something and say, okay, in church life, I believe it's different. We dare not go down the road of our preferences. But we must base what we're establishing on God's word. And so we look at, so, you know, so if we can differentiate that in our minds, sometimes, you know, cultures we come from influence us. Traditions and so forth, they influence us. And we want to take hold of those and make it a part of our church life. And that's where it becomes, there's a fine, I mean, yeah, it becomes dangerous. There needs to be a work of faith where we're looking into the Word of God and we're looking at trends. I believe trends, worldly trends, that which the world is after, we can look at that and say, we do not want to go down that path. And that's where we can look at things in a practical way, whether it's hairstyles, clothes, music, social media, whatever. You know, we can look at those things and say, we as a brotherhood, we see a trend here. We see a trend. And that's where I don't believe it's wrong to look into the Word of God and make a decision as a brotherhood. I believe that is a work of faith. It's a work of faith. But like I said, the necessity to keep those lines clear, the lines of preference and tradition and culture, versus looking into the Word of God and saying, this is a trend that just doesn't come out right at the end of the day. And that, I believe, is a work of faith. I believe that is a work of faith that we can, as brotherhood and churches, take a look at, just like they did in Acts 15. You know, there was a circumcision issue, and they looked at it. And they applied the Scripture to what the Gentiles were facing then. They were facing temptations to eating meat that was strangled and other kinds of meat offered to idols and so forth. And they made application. And they made a decree. There's a creed basically set up there. So it's not wrong. Those things aren't wrong, but they need to be wrought in faith. Or it's unproductive. It becomes dead works, or it can become tradition or a man's preference. It needs to be a work of faith, looking into the Word of God and saying, we believe as a brotherhood that this is how we can apply the Scriptures to trends we see. And we can do it without judging our next door church and neighbor, but this is how we are applying to the trends, to the worldly society we live in. So I just wanted to show us how I believe it can be a work of faith. You know, we all face that today where, we face that. You know, how much as churches can we, how much as a leadership and church can we bring application, practical application? And that's the way that I see it. I believe if it's a work of faith, it comes out right. I was just talking to a leader recently out in Ohio. You know, I was so blessed the way they worked through it with their congregation. This very way that I'm describing is what I understood. And the fruit of it. I was out there preaching about 6 weeks ago or so, and the fruit of it is just beautiful. And so, you know, there's a way that we can work through things, but it needs to be the work of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, whether in our personal lives, or whether in our families, or our churches. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Okay, let me one more point, and then I'll close here. First, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 11 says, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. You know, brother and sister, I just like to bring that out. You know, God wants to work through us mightily. Those were some of the prayers in the prayer room this morning. God doesn't want us to just have a trickle in our lives. He wants the work of faith to be with power. Like Brother Solly, our brother brought out this morning, you know, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Too many times we're timid in our Christian walk. We're, am I going to be prideful? Am I going to be this and that? I mean, yes, we need to respond to God's Holy Spirit if he reveals pride. But too many times there's a timidness there to embrace God's word and promise and to believe him to do great things in my life. Amen? He wants to do great things. He said, I have greater work shall ye do. So God wants to use us mightily. He wants the work of faith in our lives to be that with power. Power. That our society around us, and our brothers and sisters, as we minister the Word of God into our lives, there's a power there that brings about change in my brother, brings about change in my sister, as I minister a word of encouragement, a word of exhortation, or just ministering to their spirit, or a word of warning, that within me as I walk by faith, I will have the power of God in my life. Hebrews brings that out very clearly. It says, by faith the harlot Rahab, and so on. And then it says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. And, you know, then it goes into all the sufferings that some of these endured. So, brother and sister, God wants to work through us mightily, not just a trickle, not just where there's a little trickle coming out of our lives, but what does the Word of God bring out? It says, to those who believe in me, out of their belly shall flow forth not just a river, but rivers of living water. Let's believe, God, that my life will count in the kingdom. My life will have effect in this body that I'm a part of. My life will affect my society and culture around me. We sang the song this morning about the everlasting gospel, 497 there. You know, let's believe, God, that as I share the gospel with my next door neighbor, that by faith the Word of God is going to do its work. I mean, God's Word says His Word does not return void, but it as the rain comes out of heaven, does not return thither. So is the Word of God when it's given to one another in faith. Yeah, where there's not faith, where we just go through the motions, I don't think it does the same work. But as we by faith, we have a burden on our heart. We know God has spoken and wants us to minister comfort or grace or exhortation or warning to my brother and sister's life. It produces a work. Does not return void or to a lost soul. So I just like to, you know, as closing point, I'd like to just encourage us. You know, the keeping of the commandments and promises, sometimes we falter and stumble, but there's also a power there to bring that whole thing to fulfillment. There's a power there that is worked out by faith. The power of God is activated by faith in our lives. So we embrace the promises, we take hold of them, and I don't know how to look at it all, you know, through some of the depressions and fears that I've gone through, you know, I have probably more the mentality of, you know, taking the kingdom by force. I mean, you know, like it says, the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force, you know. Some of us may need to do that, to take it by force and say, all these doubts and fears, be thou removed in Jesus' name. I take a hold of this promise for me. I'm not going to allow the enemy to steal, rob, and destroy me any longer. There's that necessity sometimes to take active force. To take the promise by faith and say, I embrace it, I hold fast to it, and you know, other times I think it can be just a matter of trust and say, you know, where maybe there's no struggle of the heart and doubt and so forth. But I've had to take it more by force. I'll just be honest with you. And just to stand fast in the faith. And I found, you know, rest comes. It's that simple, is in areas of my life where I embrace the promise. It might be a struggle for a little while. It might be a labor. But the rest comes in that area. It comes. But anyway, in this matter of our calling, you know, whatever God is calling you to, believe Him. God told Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. He has young girls courting in our home. I can't really wait till close to her wedding day. God is just putting things on my heart and telling me to declare it and pronounce it upon her. because of who she is in Christ. And I believe we need to see that sometimes. God wants us, He wants to be an exceeding great reward in our lives as we live by faith. Abraham, it was simply through faith that God became that was pronounced upon him. That I am thy shield and I am thy exceeding great reward. God desires to do that with all of his heart. He desires to abundantly reward us. Not just to trickle, but to give us those rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Living water. So brother and sister, let's be men and women of faith. Let's be those who stand and live by faith, whether a parent in our home, seeking to train and bring up your child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and maybe you have 10 children and everything looks big to you, live by faith. God will make a way. One place in Scripture it says, in all my mountains, God calls them His mountains, in all my mountains I will make a way. And we face that in our lives, mountains and difficulties, whether at work or whether at family and home or church. So amen. I want to just say again, the work of faith is what I'm sharing here this morning. Let's be the church of Thessalonica, where that can be pronounced upon us. Where it's not like John, where it's not like Revelation, where he says, I know thy works. But the church of Thessalonica, he says, I know thy work of faith. Of faith. So without faith, in closing here, without faith it is impossible to please God. But with faith all things are possible. Remember what Jesus' words a few times in the Gospels? If you can believe, if thou believest, all things are possible to him that believeth. So let's look at the positive side of it too. Without faith it's impossible, but with faith all things are possible. So whatever circumstance you're facing today, whatever soul you want to see saved, whatever calling you want to see fulfilled, this is a victory that overcomes our doubts and fears and all of those things. This is a victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith. And so let's move forward by faith, embracing the promises, taking hold of the Word of God. Believing God's word to our spirit. Faith comes by hearing, and as you hear the word of God to your spirit, move forward in it. And to those who are struggling with doubts and fears and condemnations in your life, you know, move forward in that which you're sensing God saying. And His voice will become more and more clear. That's how I found it. You know, sometimes it's a little muffled because of all the noise that maybe emotional and spiritual struggles we were in, but as you move forward, it becomes more and more clear to where you know His voice very clearly, and yeah, to where it's no longer a struggle in those ways. So let's learn to embrace the promises of God, be persuaded of them, be men and women, like it says of Abraham, who staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. So there's a performing. God is able to perform it. But it was Abraham's responsibility to hold fast. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. So brothers and sisters, let's be men and women of faith in the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Learning what it means to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Let's be the church of Thessalonica, whom Paul commended for their work of faith. Amen. God bless.